Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Everything's on fire. No, I'm just playing. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. As the man mentioned, you got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fee, you got myself, Reginald Latitula, hanging out with you on a Wednesday that was supposed to be kind of, we're supposed to have fun, jubilant. The news that we had gotten yesterday.
Looking forward to the New England game. Wednesday's always our day.
Yeah, man.
We're excited. Here we go.
And then Adam Schefter, I'm going to blame it on him. As if you've not gotten the general the general vibe of Reginald Latitula today, it is lashing out and blaming others for all sorts of things. I'm blaming Adam Schefter for alerting us to the fact that Nico Collins, the NFL's receiving leader to this point, 5 weeks through the season, will go on IR. So I didn't realize how poignant our conversation was yesterday about what this offense looks like without Nico Collins. But we're going to have to dive even further into that because he is not going to be available for you for at least 4 weeks. I see what you're doing here. He's not available for you for at least 4 weeks.
Hey, and
I
do he say, went out like a champ.
All right.
He went out like a champ.
Hey, don't start airbrushing shirts yet, okay? I need you to calm down.
They're going
to
come back with the rest in peace Nico
shirts.
Yeah,
don't
like, like what they did with Tank.
By the way, Figgy, the balloon release is at 3 o'clock.
All right.
Right outside the building.
Okay.
A bunch of balloons.
I swear to God, if y'all put him on a candle, I'm fighting somebody.
Just like the first 48. You ever notice how the first 48 always ends with somebody releasing balloons?
Does it really?
It really does. Okay. That's what we're going to do at 3 o'clock.
I got a haircut appointment, so I don't know. But
he went out like a champ, though, man.
All right. He did. I mean, technically, you're right.
If it's the way you want to go out,
67-yard bomb
he went out on
is
top.
The way to... But again, I don't like the tone. I don't like the tenor of any of this. He's not dead.
Yeah.
He's definitely not dead.
He left us doing the thing he loved.
I feel like if he is dead, putting him on the IR is a wild way to go.
He left us doing the thing he loved.
All right. Okay, I feel very uncomfortable about it. Someone's going to text in like, you guys shouldn't joke about this. This is serious. And it is serious. You lose your top wide receiver easily. He's sliding himself into wide receiver one territory. Like, I don't think anybody can deny that. After having the conversations about, oh man, you go three wide, but he has clearly stood above and beyond what you had in wide receiving core. But yeah, Nico Collins out for 4 weeks. Now, what does this look like for your Texans moving forward?
Wait, I think we got some breaking news, man.
Okay.
Hey, I just seen the report that he's heading over to Germany
to look at
some. To Germany.
That is reckless speculation.
He's going to Germany.
That is not real. Don't nobody come for me.
Here's the old, you know how I am about what's the big takeaway, that old journalist in me, what's the banner headline? My banner headline is, you're up, Stefan. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're up. I mean, because here's the thing. Why did you bring in Stefan Diggs?
Oh, no, this is what you brought him in for.
Why'd you bring him in?
Right? He is always available, for one, and then two, he can do everything that you ask of him as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And in the first 4 weeks, 5 weeks really, but I mean, Nico played 9 snaps in that 5th week, so basically 4 weeks. First 4 weeks, Stephon Diggs slotted into a role, and he did that role very well.
He did it.
And then as soon in week five, as soon as Nico Collins is not available, you need me to be the number one guy? You don't need me to be the number one option? I'm here, and I'm available to do
that. Wait, he came in the camp as the number one guy.
Yes,
remember that?
Yes, he did. I was the leader of the pack.
As soon as he got traded here, I was the number one receiver.
Well, here's the thing. If Stephon, all this nonsense, and I'm calling it nonsense, about Devontae Adams.
Oh, yeah, no, that's I don't think that's available.
Off the table. Don't even think about it. Because here's how you have to look at this. If Stephon Diggs cannot step up, And Seth brought up a really good point, especially if Joe Mixon comes back. But if Stephon Diggs cannot step up and fill that role with Xavier Hutchinson, who's shown some signs, with Robert Woods, you know, crusty veteran, I hate that term, but that's what he is.
Crusty.
He's a crusty veteran.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone with the word crusty. Usually when I go veteran, I go either savvy veteran or grizzled veteran. If grizzled has a good tenor
like crusty.
To it.
I like crusty.
I bet you do.
with Tank Dell, I do. With Tank Dell, you know, maybe showing a little bit of life here and there. If Stephon Diggs cannot step up and fill that role, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, then that the acquisition of Stephon Diggs was a mistake.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if that's the if that you throw out there. If it feels very evident that he can be that, I think
he has to be.
The question that you now have is it Tank Dell season again, right? Because Tank Dell feels like
it's much, Stephon, man.
Tank has kind of had a different.
To me, it's Stephon. This is why you're here, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah.
And my thing about it from their perspective is I'm aligned with you is just I've already seen the proven. Yeah. I've seen that proven that he can kind of handle those. And we've seen that over many seasons in the NFL. Now, and we have seen Tank Dell play at a high level, but he's going to have to step back into a more visible, more prominent role like we saw again in this week. But I will reiterate the thing that I talked about in the segment that we had there. I think that when you talk about who needs to step up, if that's kind of the subsection of the conversation that we're having now for your Texans, it's not going to be anything that's novel. We've talked about it a lot. I think it's Bobby Slowick in the course
that
of
that too,
right? Because it feels like Nico Collins was the salve that kind of covered some of the fact that the offense has not been as efficient. Seth mentioned it, and he talked about it all morning, the idea that this offense did not score nearly as many points as they should and that they've been capable of.
Yeah.
And we highlighted that a lot of that is because first and second down, they've been wildly inefficient, and they've put a lot on C.J. Stroud in particular to make plays on third down.
There are some musts, though. Like, these things have to happen over the course of the next four games. Three of them on the road. Now, I know they're not necessarily, it's not like...
We're must-win territory?
No.
Must-win?
It's a must-win game.
You will not hear me say that.
It's a must-win game.
Must-win.
You will not hear me say that. But
win or go home.
I know it's not a murderer's row of four games. It ain't easy, but it's not a murderer's row and three of them on the road. These things have to happen now. Joe Mixon has to play. He has to play. If it's at all possible, if he's at all, you know, close to 100%, and boy, today's injury report is going to be huge. Joe Mixon has to play. Stephon Diggs, what we just said, he has to fill that role. The offensive line has to perform at a better level. Like, those three things, and Bobby Slowick, as you mentioned, has to be able to figure it out. So there are no more like, well, maybe CJ can... cure all ills here and be a masking agent for some of their shortcomings. No, it'd be great if he does. But there are certain things that Nico for 4 weeks out have to happen. And to me, those are them.
Somebody said from the 8-2, Mechie, you're up. Noah Brown still in Washington. Noah Brown is still in Washington. I don't think it's Mechie, you're up. I think we saw what this team wants to do, especially when you talk about the types of wide receivers. That's one of the benefits of having the depth that you have built in the wide receiver room where we're talking about seven deep. In the course of, you know, having this conversation with the 53-man cut down, is that you have enough wide receivers where it's not just, okay, now we have this number of wide receivers we have to figure out. Everybody has their roles and their prototypes. And Xavier Hutchinson plays more like an ex-wide receiver, which is what Nico Collins is. He is the direct understudy to Nico Collins. And we saw that in the course of this Bills game when Nico leaves the game. You have Xavier Hutchinson step in, and he plays that role. I'm going to be real interested to see what Xavier Hutchinson does now having what I imagine is a full grasp of that role as opposed to like kind of a spot start, for lack of a better term. I'm interested to see what that looks like, but I don't think that he immediately, and it would be insane and asinine to try and say, well, now you are Nico Collins, go do that. In fact, we heard D'Amico Ryan say, Nico Collins is out. Like, we don't expect anybody to do that. We expect you to do the best at your job. I'm interested to see what the job is that they ask of Xavier Hutchinson and how they divvy up some of those responsibilities, because one of those responsibilities is the deep shot that you can tell C.J. Stroud itches for when he's on the field and he has those opportunities, especially with the way the defenses are playing them with the high safeties. I wonder who assumes that role, and I wonder if that gets to be where Tank Dell can reassert himself as a high-level wide receiver in this league where it feels like he hasn't been able to do as much.
It won't be Xavier Hutchinson. He's more of a yards-after-catch kind of guy, you know. But
which Nico did a huge amount of as well.
Maybe he'll fill that role, but I think Tank is on the table. I think Stephon is on the table. Here's you know, the other big takeaway, you know, that we kind of started with this. You don't have to like this, and I don't think anybody who follows this team does. But you can't.
If you do like this, text in. I want to understand you a little bit better. I'm not. I mean, just come outside. I want to talk. We're not going to fight. 713-572-4610. I just want to understand why you would like this.
But you can't panic. This is why you made all those moves. You know, you can't panic. Oh, Devontae, and I know the text board is already, Sean Pendergast was practically giddy about the possibility of, look, I'm not saying I would say no, but you can't panic. I think there are other things you can do. That's why you have the deep wide receiver room. That's why you have the depth that you have that can fill that role, those roles. Don't panic. I think this team is going to be just fine, but there are certain musts that have to happen. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, let's go to one of those that you mentioned, which is the offensive line. That has been topic of conversation all through the season thus far, because they have not lived up to the expectation of the investment that you've put there just mm-hmm. yet. We've seen levels of improvement, and I'm feeling myself wavering slightly, ever so slightly, on my incremental approach that I've settled in on. It feels like you need to be a lot more efficient running the football. As Seth was highlighting in that handoff, and rightfully so, right? Mm-hmm. Who would have thunk it? Seth, really great at talking about football. but yeah, man, the way that teams have played you defensively is that we are not allowing you to hurt us, or we're going to try our damnedest to not allow you to hurt us with the deep shots. Nico Collins is an exception, right? Is Stephon Diggs enough of an exception to do that at this point in the way that you're going to use him? I think that you feel strongly that he is.
He has to.
But it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And if you don't have, like, the game breaker of that defensive situation, you either have to make sure that you nickel and dime, which CJ's been doing pretty good at, mm-hmm. make sure that intermediate type stuff. And then also you're going to need to run the damn ball.
Yeah.
And that has not been something that they've been able to do efficiently since week one. And what happened in week one? Joe Mixon had individual brilliance
yeah.
in that. So I think you're right that Joe Mixon has to return. But even with that, mm-hmm. can you depend on the individual brilliance getting to the level that you saw in week one? Or what is the great level of gradation here, right? Is it 100 yards by Joe Mixon just because off the strength of being Joe Mixon? Is it 50 yards off the strength of being Joe Mixon? Because that's different. Mm-hmm. Like, those are different things, and those provide different benefits to the offense. So that's another thing that I'm interested to see. Plus, Joe Mixon is also one of these guys where we thought he'd be back last week and maybe the week before, and mm-hmm. he has not been. So I don't know how immediately we can jump into that perspective of that.
Well, the other part is, you know, they made these adjustments against a really good team on Sunday on the fly.
Yes.
They Nico Collins only had 9 snaps, and they adjusted their receiver core accordingly. They didn't have Joe Mixon. And Cam Akers had a decent enough game. He needed more touches, but he had a decent enough game. And they were threatened and came back and won the game. So this is why I'm saying that's why you have the room.
Yeah.
And by the way, what did Steph do in Nico's absence on Sunday? He stepped up. What do you have, 82 yards receiving? More receiving yards than the entire receiving core of the Bills. I feel like this is awful. It's bad news. But it's something that you should be equipped to handle, especially with a week of preparation.
Yeah, and I mean, you're heading into a grip of 4 weeks. As we mentioned, Nico Collins on the IR mm-hmm. is the news of the day that we're talking about. So he will miss at least 4 games, as we're seeing with Christian Harris. Just because you're on the IR, and that doesn't mean that you will be back immediately after those 4 games. But the 4 games that we are looking at here, or 4 weeks rather, Pats, obviously this weekend in New England. You'll go to Lambeau and face off against the Packers. Then you will face off against the Colts here. And then you will go to New York to face off against the Jets.
Where's the biggest threat for you?
Within that one?
Within those 4.
Probably the Packers game.
Me too. They were saying Jets on the morning show, and I get it. It's a short week. It's Thursday night football game, and there's nothing wrong with their defense. You know, their defense is still good. Their whole debacle was Aaron Rodgers, and we all know the story, and we'll get to it today. I'm with you. I think Jordan Love, a few more games under his belt at Green Bay, a team that can, you know, is pretty well balanced. By the way, they have a really good tight end that's going to be a threat to your safeties. The one at Green Bay is going to be the one for me.
Yeah, and I think that part of that is also, right, we could talk about the dysfunction with the Jets of having an interim coach and all of those things. But the Packers game is closer to now, right? And as of now,
yeah,
it feels like you are in a more unhealthy place at this moment. And in theory, you get healthier towards that Jets game, mm-hmm, with maybe Christian Harris returning, maybe Joe Mixon fully being implemented.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, I still am not fully sure when he gets back into action. Hopefully sooner. Hopefully this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, not certain on that. So, like, getting some of those guys back healthy, I think you have more of an opportunity for that towards the Jets game as opposed to towards the Packers game, which is a little bit sooner. But I don't think any of those pose, like, a particular, like, this is impossible,
mm-hmm,
tenor, especially with the depth that you have at wide receiver. But I think it highlights the fact that, hey, man, you can't just be depending on dependent on the easy button of CJ and Nico are going to bail us out. I think you have to become more intentional offensively because you've lost Nico Collins.
But you also have to realize how you got here. How did you get to 4-1? It was CJ making, you know, plays that win games and the defense. That still looks good and is going to get better over the course of these four games because DeNico Autry is going to be available after this week's game. So, you know, the template of how you've won these games, how you got to 4-1, Nico was a huge part of it. You know, obviously, he's the best receiver in the game, but the template is still the
Again,
same.
It feels like you're killing him off. I don't like the tenor. I understand he's going to be off not playing for 4 weeks, but can we make sure that we don't sound like we're killing him? I want to make that abundantly clear. He is alive.
Balloon release.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, those things are still here, you know, knock on wood. But the defense and CJ are still here. Make those adjustments. It's your time, Stephon Diggs. You know, you thought last week was a very important game for you. Well, these next 4 weeks are a very important game for us, or very important games for us, because Stephon has to be Stephon.
Any chance that, like Wesley says here on the YouTube, that you think this will help the offense progress because you have to make sure that you have to be more intentional in all the ways that we talked about, mm-hmm, all the way around. Any way that you feel similar in that regard?
Offensive line. Offensive line is going to be enormous to be much more consistent. You know, protect CJ Stroud a little more. Don't have him on the run and establish the run game. Hey, man, that all eyes on the practice field today.
Yeah.
If Joe Mixon can step out there, I'm going to feel a whole lot better.
I'll also be interested. Is Dalton Schultz going to get more involved
Maybe.
As well?
Yeah.
Because it feels like he's kind of been one of the guys.
Up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Nico Collins to the IR. We heard the way that D'Amico, we talked about that yesterday, the way D'Amico talked about, mm-hmm, him. It sounded very, very far away,
yeah,
from it. And ultimately, it sounds like it's even more far away. And it's definitely got to be something major because I think that Nico Collins has progressed to the level of player where, mm-hmm, if there's any chance that you get him back before that 4 week time, you keep him on the roster and you thug it out and,
yeah,
you see if you can get,
yeah,
him back, even if it's that third week or that fourth week. It must mean that this is
something
significant.
There. Seth is talking about maybe they're taking the cautionary path here. I don't know. I think they know what's going on and they have to do this. By the way, did you hear Sean's reaction to the news? That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not. He was not.
Sounded like
happy.
He hurt his hand.
Nico Collins out for at least 4 weeks as he goes to the IR with that hamstring injury that happened on the 67-yard touchdown in the course of that Bills game. But look, that is what we are going to be watching going forward. Hey, it's balls in your court. Bobby Slowik, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, and the entirety of the Texans offense. We'll see how they continue to handle that. You're listening to In Loop, Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Wednesday. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. What's the worst situation you've ever just been kind of thrown into? Drake May seeming like he's going to be in one of those situations this week. Can you relate or did you ever relate? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston.
Let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, yeah. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. You got Lopez. You got Figgy Phil. You got me, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Wednesday. A nice, cool Wednesday in the city of H-Town.
We got two hoodies in the room.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We got two hoodies in the room.
And I mean, hoodie season. Your shirt got a hood on it.
It's the little fishing shirt. So? This is more for to protect yourself from the sun.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, okay. All the sun that's in the studio right now.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hope you're having a wonderful day.
You looking like Bill Belichick.
Hanging out with, yeah, exactly. On to Cincinnati.
That's how you fish sometimes when you've been out all day right there.
Man, you look like you're about to rob somebody.
Exactly.
Man.
That's what I thought. Looked like it was about to have Black Air Force activity going
yeah.
on. But yes, if you were on the YouTube or the Twitch, you were treated to John Lopez masking up as if he was going to try and take somebody's money.
Yeah.
Though if you want to get involved there, YouTube is Sports Radio 610, Twitch is 610 Houston, and always get involved in the text line 713-572-4610, where we're getting into our question of the day. What's the worst situation you ever just been thrown into?
Man.
As it seems like Drake May is going to have that. We had news yesterday that Drake May is indeed going to start for the New England Patriots this week, which I was like, oh, I personally don't know if I would do that. Jacoby Brissett, it's fair. Like, he had not been in a great place necessarily towards the end of that situation. And so they're like, hey, time to turn it to the young fella. Allow him to go, and he will face off against the defensive line. You know, the law firm of Hunter and Anderson Jr.
Yeah,
right. He will have that indignity, and so yeah, that will happen. But can you relate in any way to Drake May having had a situation where you were just thrown into a place that maybe you were not particularly ready for?
All right, so think about this, you guys. You know, you were thrown into a situation where you go, okay, thanks a lot. Just completely overwhelmed, unprepared, but you had to do it. I had one from back in the day. I'll probably think of a more recent one here, but the one back in the day was just humiliating. And I as soon as it happened, I was like, I've got no business doing this. So back when I was in the newspaper world early on, this was, you know, way back. I was in
What's a newspaper?
Yeah, exactly. That's how far back it was.
Okay.
So I was in the office and I was working on whatever I was working on, a column or a story or something like that. And the guy that lays out the front page of sports called in sick, and there was nobody else available because they were doing other things, obviously, to lay out the front page of the sports section. So the sports editor says, hey, Lopez, can you do that? Well, you're not going to say no when you're 20 whatever years old. Sure. So I laid out the front page of the sports section. Dude, it looked like a fifth grader did it the next day when I picked up the paper. It looked like... Like, I didn't know how big the headlines were, where the stories go, what happens where. There was like a bunch of white space, you know, between the stories.
On the front page?
On the front page of the sports.
That's prime real estate.
Did you keep that page?
No, I threw that.
Oh, you should have kept it.
Sean asked me the same thing.
Oh, man.
You got that somewhere, don't you? Hell no.
That's the type of thing that you don't appreciate when it just happened, but you appreciate later.
I was like... And of course everybody was, you know, giving me a hard time, but the crazy thing is I thought I was going to get fired. I busted deadline by like 45 minutes or an hour, so all the guys in the print shop downstairs had to be paid overtime.
Oh, man. So you
cost the company money.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man.
I cost.
And I'm sure some people was ready to go home.
Yes. Not only did I cost the company money, but it, like I said, it looked like a fifth grader could have done
this. This guy job. Lopez taking a long time. I got to get home for dinner.
For months after that, they would say, you know, hey, kind of the running joke in the newsroom was, hey, what do you think about Lopez? He's a great writer. he can't lay out a paper for squat.
Yeah, somebody, I'm glad you censored yourself.
Yeah.
That was fantastic there. Somebody texted, or on the Twitch rather, why didn't you use the template from the day before?
You can't, because it's different stories, different lengths of stories.
Okay.
You know, the headline fonts and all that. But the thing I really screwed up is like the width of each column. I had off by, they used to call it a different term, but like... half an inch each.
Yeah.
So like there was a story and then a half inch of white space and then a story and then another half inch of white. It looked awful. It looked awful.
I'm glad they didn't find
it. It looked like a high school newspaper.
Fantastic. I mean, just for a day. See, now I feel like that would have gotten a lot worse for you if you had to do it for like a week.
No, it was just that one day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I kept writing.
There you go. Yeah, just put your head down. Do not make yourself too prominent in that situation. Yeah. Get back to what
the good
you
news.
Do
is I never had to do it again.
Had to is an interesting word to use there. I feel like they made sure that you did not do it again, but I respect it. You did what you had to do. My version of being thrown in to a place where you were not necessarily prepared. I am not a morning person.
Okay.
I've never particularly been a morning person. I'm working on being better about that as I get older. But relatively early on into the career, had one of those situations where, hey, man, you got to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
And fill in on the morning show.
You're not going to say no.
I don't even think I had an opportunity to say no. And then here you go. You were interviewing Jerry Jones.
Oh, wow.
And Jerry Jones, I don't even know that he's like a particularly difficult interview necessarily. However, you guys have all watched morning TV, especially when it comes to sports. That's one that for some reason they love using. And I'm like, ooh, boy, it's not just the normal, like, hey, you're interviewing someone and, oh, did you do a good job or not? It's like, hey, people are going to use this, right? This feels like something that's going to be listened to by a lot of folks and other people will use for more content. You probably should not bleep this up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I felt a lot of a little bit of angst walking into that one. Like, all right, well, I am in the morning. Hosting the show, and then also now I got to talk to this man everybody cares about in a big way.
Yeah, mine is pretty much similar to yours. So I think the first time I actually filled in as the second person of the show,
mm-hmm.
I think it was a week. I think this show was off,
mm-hmm.
and I was the producer working.
Yeah,
and so it was just me and Baseball Spo, man.
Oh wow!
And so I was right here. He was in there. So I'm like, man, I don't know how this gonna work. So I thank God for Spo because he kind of took it on as kind of a solo show.
Yeah.
And with me weighing in, you know, a little more than a producer usually weighs in. But the other one that really took the cake was right before Reggie got here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last 2 weeks, it was just me and Lopez. I was right in that seat where you was at. And I'm like, man, this is a lot. It was a lot of, I was stressed out for the last 2 weeks, man.
Because
you constantly got to think about what you want to talk about.
Bruh.
You got to come up with takes. And I'm like, I'm out of takes. Like, I don't know what y'all want.
I'm all out.
Yeah. I was going home. I think by Wednesday, my voice was raspy.
Yeah.
I was losing my voice. I'm like, man, I don't see how y'all do this for a living, man.
I respect it greatly from here. I also recognize that our job definitely isn't digging ditches. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Our job is a little bit more difficult than it seems from the outside, and nobody wants to hear that, and I get it, right?
No,
like,
yeah,
people are out here working in the sun or doing all sorts of things and crunching numbers. I get it. Your job's
tough. But see, the other thing is, too, about that, we get a lot of people that think, oh, y'all just talk on the radio for it. Easy peasy. Yeah. I can do that.
Yes,
but
okay.
Listen to me. This is the reason why I'm not on the radio 4 hours doing exactly what y'all doing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of technical stuff that people don't know about,
mm-hmm.
and you got to be super polished. It's not just doing a podcast. I could do a podcast for 6 hours, but doing a radio show like this where it's all buttoned up and you got to stay on the clock.
Well,
and
I don't know how buttoned up it is.
Yeah, man. Buttoned up loosely.
It's buttoned up compared to a regular podcast.
Yes. Man. I bet a lot of people can relate to this. Signed up my son, my 3-year-old, for YMCA soccer, and they said, you're the coach. And he didn't know a damn thing about it. I bet you there's a lot of people like,
yeah.
Kick the ball.
Real quick from the 832, somebody did bring up, so I was thrown into the fire with this one when I had to do the Captain Mickey show. I was thrown into hell. It wasn't even the fire. They sent me right down there with the devil, man.
Wow. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, so Captain Mickey, he come on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays
and
Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from like 4 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he talked,
as I mentioned, not necessarily a morning person.
He talked about fishing and all that stuff. So last minute, I think he got sick and the producer got sick. So I'm like, hey, Figgy, can you put a show together for the outdoor show? I'm like, I had no idea what I'm doing. So I just kind of did some voice tracking and stuff, and people liked it.
Okay. I think people like you. I do appreciate when you end up in those situations that are really tough. It's really great to just be like, the first impression is, well, I like this person,
mm-hmm.
because that really does color the way that we view anything. It's one of those things that I always find interesting where it's like somebody did a good job, but you don't like them. So mm-hmm. you kind of veer towards the negative, or conversely, if somebody maybe didn't do the best job, but I like that person.
I had one. I'm very comfortable speaking in public. You know, I do it all the time. But I had one recently where I was just invited to a fundraiser, a big fundraiser by a group. And they said at the last minute, you know, can you MC? And I was like, sure, you know, I don't mind that. I've done that a bunch as well. I had no clue what the organization was. They invited me, like, okay. So I was Googling while I was on stage. What is this organization?
On stage?
Yes, because it was like last minute. So I winged it and it worked, but I was like, oh, yeah, this foundation is, oh, okay, now I got it. I didn't even know what the foundation was.
Have you been thrown into like an uncomfortable situation, like in life, just being around some buddies or something like that, and then you got to like step in and like step in between like them and a old lady or something like that?
I can do just you like, one oh. better. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea if they're listening, so shout out to the homies. But there was one time where one of my homeboys when I was younger got a beating from his mother in my house.
Oh, wow. Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He got a whooping.
Mm-hmm.
And we was just sitting there, and you're just like, you can't leave. You ain't got nowhere to. Yeah, you know what I mean, you're just sitting here watching this man get a whooping in your house.
Yeah,
we had to go in. Like, we had to go at once it was over. Once the waters had calmed, had to go and just go ahead and get him a blanket, get him some Advil. Just lay down. Go ahead and take your nap, buddy. That's all there is to do at this point. Just
get some Advil.
Go. Yeah. Got him a nice little whooping in there. So that was a very uncomfortable situation because I don't know what you're supposed to do in that moment.
Yeah.
Right? How do you go back to eating mac and cheese after that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I got in a bad situation to the point like this could have got me in jail for a long time.
Oh, you told me this.
I mentioned this before. Yeah. I'm gonna keep it PG, but a homeboy hit me up like, "Hey, you want to make $10,000?" And I'm thinking I'm young and dumb. And I needed some. I'm like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, who don't need $10,000?
Hey, pick me up around the corner, around two. I'm like, all right. So I drive over there. We driving down, park right in front of a bank.
Oh Lord.
Oh no. And Bootman became Wheelman. That's crazy.
I was sitting and I was scared, man. I was so scared. And he had everything he needed, and he had some homeboys in the back, and I'm like, I end up talking them out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to play it cool because I didn't want to look like no sucker, but I was just like, man, it's too many people around here, man. Like, it's broad daylight. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, nah, that's too risky.
Look at you negotiating.
And he was like, man, I was driving back home.
All of a sudden, you were
gracious.
Have you seen Collateral? It sounds like you were Jamie Foxx in Collateral. I love that film.
Oh, man.
Someone said from 713, those naps after whoopings always hit different. 10 out of 10 experience. Best sleep. I don't think you can call it a 10 out of 10 experience if you just got a whooping.
Maybe the nap is.
The nap itself might be, but I feel like it is.
Yeah, because all the snot and the eye boogers and cries that came out. That came out the pores.
From the 409, they said mother-in-law, who had just gotten kicked out of her house for cheating on her husband, comes to their house, stays the night all night. She was trying to talk to my wife real awkward. Oh, yeah, real mm-hmm. awkward. I don't even know what to say to that. I really shouldn't have read that as the very last part of the segment. However, I guess shout out to Drake May, who will have his own difficult situation as he gets thrown to the wolves that are the Texans defensive line and defense in general, because I don't want to forget Aziz Al-Shaair just throwing himself like a torpedo through the line. More power to you, Drake May. More power to you, Drake May, as you start for the first time this weekend.
Good luck.
Not too much luck, though.
Yeah, not too much.
The adequate amount of luck to you, sir. All right, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Astro season is over, but Rocket season is getting ready to go, and Adam Spillane covers both of them. So let's talk to our guy, Adam Spillane, next in the loop.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo.
Yes. He is here. Adam Spillane, Baseball Spo, soon to be Basketball Spo as well. As we are kind of in a transitionary period, Spo, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm kind of upset though. Like, there's two Rockets. You're talking about basketball. There's two Rockets preseason games next week, and I could usually finagle my way out of those because there was baseball going on here.
Oh yeah.
Now there's no baseball. I have no excuse.
Okay, so you're not a big preseason sports fan then, huh?
No, I do not enjoy the fake games.
The fake games. Yes. I watched the highlights. We were talking about this. That he goes, I can't wait. I'm gonna watch preseason. I'm like, let me know how it goes.
Well, I didn't say I can't wait. I said that I'm going to watch preseason basketball, and I feel like I need to get my finger on the pulse of this Rockets team in a way that I like to, but I want to start with this Astros team. I think you wrote a fantastic piece on the Sports Radio 610 website, sportsradio610.com, about kind of this offseason that the Astros are moving into, and of course the big question is, Will Alex Bregman return? And if he doesn't, what do you do there? I think I'll start with the latter part of that, and we can kind of get back to the former. But the options that you laid out there were very interesting. And I think the ultimate takeaway, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's not really a good replacement in tow. But if I had to ask you which one is the best of those options, which one did you feel like was the best?
I don't think there's a good one, to be honest with you. I mean, I laid out, you know, you look at the other free agent third baseman, there really is not. I mean, Eugenio Suarez could be, but he's got a $15 million player option, and there's no reason that the Diamondbacks shouldn't pick that up just because the Diamondbacks are competing at this point. So you kind of have to cross him off the list. And then you look at the trade market, and the Astros obviously don't have a lot to trade as it is because the farm system is very, very depleted. And like somebody like Ryan McMahon, who was an all-star this year and probably going to be a Gold Glove finalist, he doesn't want to be traded. The Rockies have never shown any inclination to want to trade him. He went to them at the deadline and said, hey, don't trade me. And they said, okay, we're not going to. And they don't do that. Nolan Arenado is the other one that I just kind of brought up because it feels like the Cardinals are in a bit of a transition period. It looks like they're going to let Paul Goldschmidt go. But he's on the downside. And he had his worst offensive season since he was a rookie this year. And he's owed a lot of money. And so I'm sure the Astros could get the Cardinals to take back part of that contract. But again, we just dealt with a corner infielder who was on the downside the last couple of seasons with Jose Abreu. So do the Astros really want to go down that road? Again, the answer is probably no. And the internal options aren't great. Like Zach DeCinzo showed a little bit, but he's not somebody that I don't think people think of as like a starting caliber third baseman at this level. And you saw Shea Whitcomb fumble balls at the end of the season last year. And then there's Bryce Matthews, who I think projects more of a middle as a middle infielder, but he played what 12 games above double A last year and wasn't very good in those games, and he played I think I said 27 games at third base in his entire life. So you know, that's that doesn't seem like a great option either. So the best thing for them to do is just pay the guy they already have.
Okay, that's exactly what I was going to ask you about. What's the realistic price right now?
So Matt Chapman got $6,151. They are going to have to go over that price in order to make that happen. And if they don't, somebody will, because again, the pickings are very slim at third base. There are a lot of teams out there with money to spend. And also, and people might not remember this, but Scott Boras, I think it was at the All-Star break, he floated the possibility of Bregman being open to moving to second base. That's if a team already has a third baseman. And remember, Carlos Correa signed with the Mets. You know, there was the whole thing with the physical, but he went to the Mets under the expectation that he was going to play third base next to Francisco Lindor. So this is something that Boras will do with his clients. Is like, hey, don't be dead set on playing one position, because if there's a team that has a need at another spot, go take the money over there. So I just think that they are going to have to go into waters where they have never gone before in order to make that happen. I don't see that happening.
Exactly what I was going to say. So we know the price, and that's about what Reggie and I were talking about when we were talking about Bregman and his contract. I mean, is that best? I'll make it a question. Is that best for the squad, given what you're paying already, and then the Kyle Tucker stuff, Fromber's on the horizon, et cetera?
If you want to win games, if your goal is to compete next year and compete here in the years going forward, then the answer is yes. Especially because of the drop off once you get past, you know, Bregman at that position. But again, I don't think they're going to do it. The Astros know this isn't a situation where the Astros are going into this not knowing what he wants. They've talked to Boras. You know, they've had kind of, it seems like, pretty informal conversations with Boras, really going back to when Altuve signed his extension last winter. They know what he wants. The fact that nothing has gotten done would indicate that the Astros really have no interest in. And you've heard some of the things that even Dana Brown said on Thursday, where it didn't, he wasn't exactly saying, oh yeah, we're going all in to get this guy back. I don't think they are going to. Now, the one thing that's interesting, when Carlos Correa left in 2021, this was like, they lost the World Series on a Tuesday. They had a press conference announcing that Dusty Baker was coming back. I believe it was on Thursday. And then on Saturday, they leaked a very unserious offer to multiple TV reporters in this town. And then Jim Crane, the owner of the most secretive organization in maybe the planet, confirmed the offer. So that's how you knew the offer wasn't serious. They wanted to give the appearance that they were actually trying to re-sign Carlos Correa, when in all honesty, they never were going to re-sign Carlos Correa. They have not done that yet with Bregman. Now, it's still early, and we're still here in early October. If you start hearing contract offers getting leaked to media outlets in this town, and Jim Crane just by the grace of his heart, decides to confirm those offers, it's not a serious offer. But anything that does not eclipse what Matt Chapman got from the Giants, 6 years, 151, is not a serious offer, because there's no way that he's going to take anything less than that or anything even near it.
Oof. I'm of two minds here, Lopez. Mm-hmm. What an ultimate, actual, serious offer that gets the job done for Bregman. What does that affect the team, or should I get into Rockets a little bit?
Get into Rockets, because I want to get into something else before we let
Well, really quick, because I do want to point out one thing. You've seen how, because I've been watching the Padres, obviously, the last couple of days, and even the Mets.
What a fun postseason.
Buddy, that's my favorite series.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wrote yesterday was that the Astros should really look into trading Framber Valdez and Kyle Tucker and taking kind of like a soft reset. And it's very similar to what the Padres did. Remember, the Padres last year, 2022, they go to the NLCS. Last year, disappointing year, they missed the playoffs. They let Josh Hader go in free agency. Then they trade Juan Soto. What did they do with the prospects they got back for Juan Soto? They used one of them to get Dylan Cease. And now here they are leading the NLDS 2-1. Like, to me, if I'm the Astros, I really look to take that soft reset, trade Valdez, trade Tucker, two guys who, again, they probably aren't going to re-sign after next year. Restock your farm system, become a little less top-heavy, and then you can replace Valdez by bringing back Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah.
You can go sign Anthony Santander and replace the production that you got from Tucker. Again, these players aren't quite as good, but it won't cost you as much, and you're able to replenish your farm system a little bit, which is something that they really need to do here.
I like that plan of attack, actually. Yeah, like, you, again, it feels
especially
like
when the Padres are kicking butt.
And it's not like the Astros couldn't compete with that roster that I just laid out, with it, with Kikuchi being back, with maybe somebody like Santander playing right field, and then the guys that you already have on the roster. You give Jacob Melton an opportunity in the outfield, who knows, maybe you're sitting in the same position that the Padres are in, and you actually have a farm system to go improve the club if you need to.
Yeah. And then also, it doesn't hurt that the AL West
not very good.
Yeah, has not looked all that great. Okay, one more thing real quick with the Rockets before we go here. I know that you haven't dug too deep into preseason hoops, but like, overall expectations for this team as we start moving towards the season.
I think they believe they should be a playoff team this season. I think that is kind of the vibe that you get from them. Now, I think that's really hard to do in the Western Conference, just because there are 15 teams in the West. 13 of them are trying to win this year. Mm-hmm. Maybe 12 and a half. I don't know exactly what San Antonio is feeling at this point, but at least 12 are trying to win. And so you've got to try and jump. You know, you're not trying to just get into 10th. You're trying to get into 6th.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what they are trying to do. To me, though, it's more of I'm not necessarily looking as, you know, success based on how many games they win and what they do. It's just like, do the young guys that they have, do they take the next step? And are they able to really figure out what their core is moving forward? Like, can they start to pare this thing down?
Exactly. To me, yes, 100%.
Yeah, because they've got so many guys on that roster. They've got they brought back all their top 12 in terms of minutes played from last year. Plus, they added Reed Sheppard and Steven Adams. They need to figure out a way to pare this roster down so that they know, like, who are their best 9 moving forward? Because I'm not sure they totally know that. And I think that for Rafael Stone, that's the number one goal, is to figure out who are his top 9 moving forward. For Ime Udoka, the goal is, we got to be in the playoffs.
Real quick, are you ready to be less surly when it comes to Indiana football?
6-0.
I'm just waiting for them to let me down.
Yeah, no. So you're not. So the answer is no. You're not ready to be less surly.
I've been through it. I've been through this many, many times before.
Undefeated Indiana, and you're like, eh.
Windiana is what I call it.
They got Nebraska at home after the bye week. So get that. If they can get that win, and then I can really start looking ahead to Michigan and Ohio State, because I think they have them back.
You're still hate watching.
I'm watching with the expectation that it's going to go bad.
Cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously pessimistic.
I will say I thought they were pretty good against Northwestern. They let Northwestern hang around just a little bit, and Northwestern's probably put up more points than they should have in that game. But they won the game.
Yeah.
And so I'll take that.
That's Baseball Spo. Google him.
Google him.
Don't.
Soon to be Basketball Spo. We'll keep him going here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Spo, I appreciate your time always,
man. I'll talk to y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There he goes. Adam Spillane. Check out his work. Sports Radio 610 wrote a fantastic piece about the Astros offseason. And then also, H-Town Hoops podcast is getting back into rotation. So you want to lock in there to keep up with your Rocket stuff as well. All right, we're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including in division for your Texans. There's allegations of malfeasance. Let's talk about that and more next. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.